Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 4 of Slobberknocker Radio. I am Brent Strasberg, and I am without a tag team partner for this podcast because my normal partner is away on vacation, and although I would suspect that my cat will probably tag team partner with me at some point, just because she seems to be a little talkative tonight. So I just got back from Ring of Honor. And I was in Milwaukee this evening, and what a fantastic event. Even though it was, they said it was going to be on TV, I don't really think it's a televised recording deal. Maybe they'll air a match from it on TV. I would figure this would more be a DVD release event, but good God, it was just a stupendous evening. Great matches. The main event was Adam Cole versus Matt Taven for the ROH title, but probably the biggest match on the card was the Briscoes teaming together with Michael Elgin versus Kevin Steen and the Young Bucks, which was kind of cool to see Steen and the Young Bucks wrestle in ROH together, because they do that a lot in PWG. So it's kind of cool to see that in Ring of Honor. And they nailed some of their spots that they do in PWG and everything, so that was kind of neat to see. Yeah, it was just, like I said, a great evening. That match was just awesome. Elgin is just an animal. He's the strongest guy. Like, God, even right up there with, you know, Cesaro and Mark Henry. It's just, it's crazy how strong Michael Elgin is. There was a great match between Jay Lethal and Silas Young to start off the show. There's a great match between Chris Hero and Roderick Strong. And there's a three-way tag match between Adrenaline Rush, Outlaw Inc., and Red Dragon that was just superb as well. Just a really fun night, a Ring of Honor. They had like a autograph signing, quote unquote, thing before the show, which, you know, I wasn't a huge fan of the format of it, because it was, you know, kind of, I guess, a little more impersonal than what they normally do. You know, maybe they don't do that in Ring of Honor a lot, but I know, like, at like indie shows, you know, they have their merch, they have their pictures, and they kind of just, people can just line up and meet that wrestler and stuff. And this was a little bit more like going through a conveyor belt of wrestlers, so to speak. So a little less, or a little bit less impersonal. But, I mean, it was still a cool idea. And for some money, you got, like, you could either get 8x10 signed by him, or you could get an event poster signed by the Briscoes, Elgin, Steen, and the Young Bucks, which is what I opted up ending to do instead of getting, you know, a bunch of 8x10s to have to worry about getting a frame for and finding space on the wall. At least this was just one poster that's shouldn't give me and as much trouble with my wife. So that was kind of cool, and it's nice talking to some of the guys. And the Briscoes were, I mean, they're all really nice, and even though I didn't have anything for Silas Young, I already met him and stuff, so it's kind of like I didn't need another autograph or anything. But it was kind of cool that while, you know, everybody else is talking to the wrestlers, I kind of just talked to Silas Young for a little bit, and that was pretty cool. It started with Steen, went to the Young Bucks. I asked them if they had any Mount Rushmore shirts with them, and they said they did, but they only had double XL and larges, and I wear an XL, so that kind of sucked. Otherwise, that would have been kind of cool to do, you know, get one of those shirts from them. I talked to Young Bucks, talked to Elgin for a little bit, and then talked to the Briscoes, and the Briscoes were just insanely nice. Jay and Mark were just, like I said, they were just awesome. I complimented Jay on his belt, and he's like, hey, you know, pick it up, you know, and he's like, you know, and so I kind of picked it up, held on to it, and he's like, you know, and I kind of sat on the table, and I'm like, well, can I get a picture, or how does that work, because they weren't really, on the website, they kind of said, like, $10 for an autograph or a picture, but, like, people were taking pictures. I didn't really bother with it, but I was like, hey, can I get a picture? And then, and he's like, yeah, hey, hold on to the belt. And it was just kind of cool that he was like, you know, hey, you know, even though it's his belt, he's just, let me hold on to it. I don't know. It's just kind of a nerdy thing that I kind of marked out over. So I got a picture with them holding the belt, but the person taking the picture, and, well, the lighting in the Turner Hall isn't the best anyways. And, like, the darker areas, it can get kind of dark. So I had the flash on. The camera, the phone that I have, the camera's not that great anyways. And you really have to hold the camera for, like, a couple seconds after you think you take the picture. It's weird. And so I gave it to a girl behind me to take a picture of, and the picture came out kind of blurry. So that's kind of disappointing, but still a cool experience. Can't say enough good things about all the people in Ring of Honor that I was able to talk to. So yeah, it's just a fun evening at ROH, and yeah, as I alluded to in our last podcast, I plan on talking about the TNA Lockdown card, which is Sunday night, 7 o'clock on pay-per-view. We'll be probably watching that, and you know, I kind of talked about it in the last pod, but if you didn't listen to that or whatever, they kind of did a weird job of marketing this pay-per-view, considering they shot all the impacts leading up to this pay-per-view like 2 months ago, and then they kind of just let it build. But half the matches on the card, they really didn't even, like, announce, or they just finally got around to announcing them officially. So that's just kind of weird. But I'll run through the card, as you know. And the weird thing is, with Lockdown, and they're switching back to this format, I guess previous years, I didn't really watch them too closely, but in previous years, they opted to just do a few matches as cage matches, but it started off as all matches were cage matches, and now they've gone back to that, which is, I don't know if it's necessarily a good thing. I think there's a time and a place for cage matches, and I don't think that's necessarily every match on the card. But we'll see. Maybe they'll make something special out of it. But it just seems kind of like there's kind of a formula for doing a cage match. And I don't know, doing 8 cage matches just seems a little bit like overload. That'd be, you know, like doing an Elimination Chamber pay-per-view and having every match be done in an Elimination Chamber structure. It's kind of, it almost takes the fun out of it, I guess. It makes it less of a spectacle. But, so here's the matches. Ethan Carter III was supposed to be taking on Kurt Angle. And, due to Kurt Angle's knee injury, he dropped out of the match. So now it's Ethan Carter versus a mystery opponent who nobody's really sure of who that's going to be. And, I don't really think it'll matter. I think Ethan Carter III is going to win that match, pretty much regardless of who he faces. I don't really know of anybody on the TNA roster right now that would probably beat him in this match. So I think it's, you know, I think Ethan Carter's gonna pull out the win on this one. Looking at the card, though, to get off topic, or get off the predictions a little bit, again, it's kind of weird that they just dropped Eric Young and Abyss. Neither of them have anything to do on the card, and maybe that's the spot where Eric Young or possibly Abyss would wrestle, and especially if Abyss wrestled, that would certainly make me think twice about picking Ethan Carter to win the match. But it's kind of weird that, in my opinion, EY and Abyss, their whole thing is probably the most intriguing thing in TNA over the past couple of months, and it's kind of just weird that you think cage matches, you think Abyss could strive in that environment, and that he should be on the card, but he's not, and that's a little head-scratching, but maybe that's a spot. Maybe it's Abyss versus EC3, and maybe Abyss will pull off the win, but either way, what I know now is I'm going to take Ethan Carter III, and, you know, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. We also have Tigre Uno versus Manic. Tigre Uno used to wrestle as Ultimate Tiger in Mexico, and now he's in a couple matches on TNA Explosion back in the day, which is like their British show, and they'll show like, it's kind of like a pre-game show, kind of like their main event, or Superstars or what have you, but and Ultimate Tiger wrestled a couple matches on that, and usually they'll post those, the match they record on YouTube, so you could probably pull up some Ultimate Tiger TNA matches, but this is his official debut as Tigre Uno in as a signed TNA wrestler. Hopefully that'll add some more talent to the X Division, because it seemed like X Division at one point was TNA's strong suit, and now they just kind of, now it's become kind of an afterthought, which is kind of a shame. But, so it's him versus Manic, and, I'm gonna go, I mean, you can't have Tigre Uno lose in his, you know, quote-unquote debut match in TNA on a pay-per-view. That just seems kind of ridiculous. So, I think Tigre Uno is gonna win that one. The next match, Mr. Anderson versus Samuel Shaw. This has kind of been a good build for this match. It doesn't really make sense, like, why is Mr. Anderson, who just has twins with his wife, protecting, making it his mission to protect Christy Hemme? It's a little like, okay, like, I guess they're friends, and he wants to protect her against this creep, Samuel Shaw, but I don't know. I think Samuel Shaw is going to get the win. I think, first of all, he needs to change his clothes and put on some wrestling tights instead of coming out there looking like, dressed like Dexter Morgan. But I guess that maybe it's just me. Yeah, I think Samuel Shaw is going to get the win in what I think is his pay-per-view debut as well. So, I think that makes sense. You know, give Samuel Shaw the push. And yeah, but it's good to see Mr. Anderson back in TNA. He's a great wrestler, and I was a little, I don't want to say worried for him, but I just thought kind of got a raw deal towards the end when his contract was expiring out, and I'm glad that he's back and in that company. There's a six-man interpromotional tag team steel cage match with the Great Muda, Sanada, and Nakanui. I pronounced that terrible. But those three from Wrestle 1. Which Sanada is, he just won the X Division title from Austin Aries, so hopefully that, maybe, I don't know what the plans are with Wrestle 1 exactly, but maybe Sanada will do some more matches in TNA, which would be a good thing for the X Division. They're taking on Bad Influence, Christopher Daniels and Kazarian, and Chris Sabin, representing TNA, and I gotta go with Wrestle 1 in this one. I think it'd be kind of a crappy thing to do this interpromotional match and then just squash the company you're working for, especially with a legend like the Great Muda making the arrangements, because he runs Wrestle 1, but also, you know, making the plans to come over here. So I think that just makes sense that Muda, Sanada, the Wrestle 1 group wins this match against TNA. Next match, Gunner versus James Storm. It's going to be contested under last man standing rules in a steel cage. You know, I'd like to see Gunner win this one. I'm going to go with Gunner. He's got a great story, obviously, and kind of got screwed out of his TNA heavyweight title shot by James Storm. And it'd be nice to see him, you know, get the win on this pay-per-view. He's kind of been winning a lot of the matches in this feud between him and James Storm. But this is one of those spots where you either let Gunner win this match and then, you know, push him up the card a little bit. Or if he loses to James Storm, he kind of goes down the card, and that kind of sucked for Gunner, because he hasn't done anything wrong by any means. So hopefully he gets the win, and James Storm's a good enough. He's been with TNA long enough that you don't really have to worry about him. He's always got his spot, you know, and Yeah, so I'm gonna take Gunnar. I've really been impressed with him. I thought his match against Magnus for the title was really good, until he got screwed over by Storm, and we'll see. Next match, Madison Rayne defending the Knockouts Championship against Gail Kim in a steel cage. I'm going to take Gail Kim to win this one, I guess. Don't really feel strongly about it. But, yeah, I just think, I don't know, Gail Kim will probably, or, you know, Lady Tapa might, you know, probably help out Gail Kim for the win, but I could see, you know, Gail Kim and Lady Tapa at some point maybe having a little rivalry, a little feud going on, and I don't know. Yeah, so I'm gonna take Gail Kim in it. The next match, probably the biggest one of the night. No offense to the TNA Heavyweight Title match, but Team MVP, which is now officially been announced that it's MVP, Eddie Edwards, Davey Richards, and Jeff Hardy. No word if he's going to be Jeff Hardy or Willow or what's going to be happening there. They're going to be taking on Team Dixie, which is Bobby Roode, Austin Aries, and the Bromans. The leader of the winning team receives complete control of TNA wrestling operations, which... And if Team Dixie wins, Bobby Roode becomes 10% owner of TNA. I would really, really, really like to see Team MVP win this match. No offense to Dixie, because I know her heart's in the right spot, but I don't know if I can stand listening to her cut promos on a weekly basis anymore. It's just become aggravating, and for... You know, the good parts of TNA that there are, sometimes the bad parts outweigh it, and Dixie is definitely one of those bad parts that I would love to get away from. And the introduction of MVP a couple weeks ago has been a breath of fresh air. So hopefully, you know, we can get, you know, tone down Dixie a little bit and get her out of the picture for a little while and just make the company not so annoying, I guess. And then, lastly, the heavyweight title match, Magnus versus Samoa Joe. It's contested under Joe Rules, which, like, is this... Maybe I haven't watched enough TNA, but this is the first time that they just started, like, doing Magnus Rules, which doesn't make any goddamn sense. Like, it was just like, oh, now it's a no disqualification match, but somehow that's Magnus Rules. So this match is Joe Rules, which is, you have to win by submission or knockout, which, like... Joe Rules, like, when did that start? I don't know. Sometimes TNA just makes up shit and tries to pass it off as something that they've act like they've done for a while or whatever. But, I don't know. I think Magnus is going to leave with the heavyweight title. It'd be kind of shocking if he didn't, to be perfectly honest. Like, I think the angle of having Magnus be the champion but having MVP... run the company would be interesting because it'd be kind of a more fair take and really test Magnus what he's, you know, to make Magnus worthy of becoming the champion, because a lot of people have criticized him for being a paper champion or whatever, but this would be a good test then. Okay, yeah, everybody thinks you're paper champion because you were basically handed the title. Well, now this is your chance to earn it, to solidify your spot as the heavyweight champion, which is only fair to Magnus, considering he hasn't done anything. You know, he deserves a spot on the card, and he deserves a little bit of a run with the belt, and hopefully he gets it here, or keeps it going here. So that's TNA Lockdown. You know, it's, like I said, it's not the best card, it's not the most impressive, but, you know, it should be alright, it should be worth watching, and, and yeah, so it's pretty late at night, so I'm gonna stop recording now. And so that's my Ring of Honor Milwaukee live review, my TNA Lockdown take. I might as well just briefly mention this. I haven't watched SmackDown yet. Obviously, they're tonight, and I was at Ring of Honor. But NXT aired this week. Great show. Nice to see Adrian Neville coming out wrestling Camacho. You know, I don't think it was a heavyweight title match necessarily, but it was good to see Adrian Neville on there wrestling singles, and, you know, I'd like to see him keep going, keep improving. The promo he cut after the match was awesome, how he compared himself to looking elfish, and how, like, nobody understands what he's saying. Even he can't understand what he's saying some of the time, and just, like, pointing out all of his flaws and pointing out, like, but all of that didn't matter because he proved that he was the best wrestler in NXT, which is just one of the best promos I've seen in a while. And, you know, a lot of people criticize, you know, Daniel Bryan for a lot of those things. Like, he's not the biggest guy. He's got a beard. He's not the traditional face of the company. And Adrian Neville's kind of the same way, where he's not the traditional face that you associate with NXT or with WWE. But, hey, sometimes talent can overcome that. And that's the case with Adrian Neville. And that's awesome. And the way he did it was just great. I was having a debate with myself too that, TNA, granted it's watched by, you know, like a million people in a week or whatever, but it's still not treated nearly in the same class as WWE. So I kind of was having an argument with myself. Magnus was the first, like, British heavyweight champion in the United States in whatever, 170 years or something like that. But I was thinking, like, what is the more important title? Is the TNA heavyweight title more important, or is the NXT heavyweight title more important? Because both of them now have British champions. So I think that's kind of interesting, an interesting debate question. I guess, hey, tweet at us, at Slobberknockered, which is Slobberknocker with a D at the end. Which do you think is the most important, the more important heavyweight championship? Is it TNA or is it NXT? I don't think there's really a wrong answer to this question, because I think NXT, being the heavyweight title holder, is usually a stepping stone to becoming part of the big show in WWE, which is, you know, not even arguably, that's being on WWE is a bigger deal than being in TNA. There's no doubt about it. So, an interesting thing. It'd be interesting to hear other people's takes on it. I think Magnus still probably has a slight advantage. But Adrian Neville's really close. That NXT title is really close to being about as equally important as the TNA heavyweight title, in my opinion. But I'm kind of a hardcore NXT mark, so I guess that's not completely unsurprising. So anyways, Adrian Neville, that was great. They're really pushing Charlotte, which is, you know, all right. I'm sure obviously they're building up to a Charlotte Page match at some point in the near future, and that's fine. Ric Flair was on there doing kind of cutting promos with Charlotte, and I don't know, he just came off kind of awkward to me. It just didn't really seem to work that well, and to be fair, she kind of comes off a little awkward to me too, but it just seemed weird to have Flair kind of be her mouthpiece, kind of talking trash to girls. It just seemed weird, but, I don't know, kind of interesting. I'm not the biggest fan of Charlotte's work in the ring. I think she's still very, very green. You can tell that I think she got more into wrestling as an afterthought than, you know, than fulfilling her dad's legacy. I think it was kind of more of like, well, whatever. I know she was doing gymnastics and stuff, and I don't know, dancing or maybe something like that, but I think all that kind of flamed down. She's like, well, maybe I'll try wrestling because that's what my dad did. And that's, I don't know, she doesn't seem like she's anywhere near in the same class as like a Paige or an Emma. But whatever, give her a shot. But don't have her win the title from Paige. That would just be stupid. And Sami Zayn wrestled versus Corey Graves, which is good. Good to see Corey Graves on there again. He's kind of been an underutilized asset to NXT, and I'd like to see more of him in the future because he's got a lot of talent. But Sami Zayn wrestled him in this episode, and it was short, but it was a good match. And hopefully more Corey Graves, and obviously more Sami Zayn, because Sami's great. And most importantly, and I'll save this for my last note, Adam Rose. Holy shit. What a great introduction. to that character. That was just absolutely, that was one of the best entrances by a wrestler that I've seen in a while. Just everything with the group of people, him coming through, doing that little prancy dancy thing. The trust fall into the group of dancers, them kind of dancing and carrying him over to the other side of the ring. Good golly, that was good stuff. That was entertaining. And I'm still kind of in shock by all of that. And I made Julie kind of watch it because she doesn't really care about wrestling at all. And she was dying watching it. She thought it was the greatest thing. And I ended up pulling, you know, some of the audio from the song, from his theme song off of YouTube and making it a ringtone and everything. So now when you call me, it's the Adam Rose song. And it is. That was great. I mean, I don't know if it's a long-term gimmick deal. I mean, we'll see how they take things after a while. And what they do with that character exactly. But for the first time, that worked flawlessly. So I think that's a good note to probably end it on. The debut of Solomon Crow, a.k.a. Sami Callihan, was supposed to be on this week. I think they said it's going to be on next week, which is awesome. I'm very much looking forward to that. Looking forward to him in NXT. And that's the Slobberknocker Radio for this week. Thank you for listening. We should be back next week with, I think next week, with, I'll talk to Joel the Body Wrecker, and we'll try to solidify something for next week. But, yeah, so until then, go to tweet at us at Slobberknockered, and say, you know, feedback, any feedback you have, positives, negatives, whatever, any comments that you have about wrestling business, wrestling in general, and just reach out to us. We love hearing from you, so I greatly appreciate that, and have a wonderful day. Thanks.